Time for another Piano Puzzler. Bruce Adolph is here with me in the Maud Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Fred.
Every week, Bruce takes a familiar tune and he rewrites that tune in the style of a great composer. We get one of our listeners on the phone who tries to guess two things about the Piano Puzzler. He tries to guess the name of the hidden tune and also the name of the composer whose style Bruce is mimicking. Anne Philly is on the phone from Bonneville, Vermont. Anne, welcome to PT.
Thank you.
Anne, what's your musical background?
Well, I was a music major in college. I played violin, and soon after college switched to viola, decided I liked the sonority of that better.
And what took you over to the dark side?
Well, the orchestra I played in needed a viola.
Oh, there you go.
So I discovered that I really kind of enjoyed it better anyway, so there I am.
And is this true? Did you and Bruce go to the same music camp together?
We did, at Kinhaven in Vermont back in the late 60s.
Wow, that's great. So you know the young Bruce. What instrument did he play then?
He played bassoon, I believe, at the time.
That's right.
What I remember.
Well, I did. I played bassoon in the orchestra, and in chamber music, I played piano and bassoon. But I also was composing a lot then, and I don't know if you remember Jerry Bidlack.
Oh, of course.
He was the conductor, and he let me conduct the orchestra a few times.
Yeah.
Bruce Adolph, this is your life. And Anne, your life at the moment is about to include a piano puzzler. Bruce will play this for you, and then we'll see if you can name the hidden tune and the composer whose style Bruce is mimicking. Now, Anne, I don't know what's coming either, so if you happen to get stuck on either side of it, we can brainstorm on this together, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, Anne, here is Bruce Adolph, your old friend, with your piano puzzler. Anne, what do you think?
Well, I'm getting a little Beatles feeling.
Oh, good.
And that's not because you have a bug crawling on your leg?
No, not that kind. If I fell in love with you?
Well, yes. That's correct.
Right, that's the name of the Beatles tune that was embedded in that piano puzzler.
It was crawling all over it.
It was crawling. It was from, like, the right off the bat. It just spoke. Now, the composer is a little trickier. For, something 30s?
1730s, 1830s, 1930s?
Oh, yeah, right. Well, more like 1930s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Or earlier, maybe a little earlier.
It's earlier, yeah.
It's earlier than that.
But the feeling's right, but you're earlier. Yes, yes. Stop right there.
You were so unsure, and then the first name to come out of your mouth, Claude Debussy, the French Impressionist composer.
One should always go with one's first instincts, I think. I usually regret it when I don't.
After I think about it for a while, I agree with you.
So, Bruce, what made this week's puzzler in the style of Debussy?
I did.
Oh, you certainly did.
Well, for one thing, it is, since we're talking about crawling in Beatles, it's infested with whole tones.
And what's a whole tone?
Well, if you know your major scale, it is mostly whole tones, but it has a few half steps. Here's a half step.
So half, if I step, make it, half step are notes right next to each other on the piano. Whole step is one in between.
That's true on all Western instruments. I mean, if you're playing a string instrument, then the half steps are your fingers, as my daughter's first teacher used to say, kissing each other. And when they move a little away from each other, they're whole steps.
Uh-huh.
She's way past that now. She's playing the Saint-Saëns concerto. But besides, so if you make this whole tones and keep it going, this is your scale. And there are only six of these notes before they come back. So that's not all, but a lot of the accompaniment is in parallel and whole tone groups. By parallel, I simply mean if you take a structure, let's say this chord, that's a dominant seventh chord, and you just play lots of dominant seventh chords with no regard to key. They're parallel to each other. So here are some parallel chords that also are part of the whole tone scale.
It creates this blur of harmony.
So that's all whole tones. But there are other harmonies too. Debussy loved the sound of the dominant ninth chord, which is a beautiful sound. If you want to know how to make a dominant ninth chord at home, you can. You take one, using a piano is fine, but you can use any instrument, and you skip every other note. 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. And you can do parallel harmony with that. You know, I sometimes, when I think of parallel harmony, I think of apartment buildings, because let's say you have 10 floors, and if all of the apartments are in the same structure, the kitchens will all be lined up, and the living rooms will all be lined up, et cetera. So if you had a fireman's pole and you slid down all the kitchens, they would have the same relationship. They're all kitchens. They have different functions within the apartment. You have a kitchen is for cooking, living room is for living, bedroom is for sleeping. You have a bathroom, and you might have a series of, you might have a den. Each one has a function, and function in tonal harmony is the word we use to explain that it also does something. But if you take the function away and make them all kitchens, on each one on a separate floor, that's a Debussy technique. Of course, he didn't actually use a fireman's pole, as far as I know. So that's part of what goes on here.
So using those harmonic tools that Debussy used, and some of which he brought into Western music, some of which his teacher said, "What are you doing? You're breaking the rules." And he said, "Rules aren't the point. Pleasure is the point.
That's right.
Beauty is the point."
Yes, his teacher actually has said to him that he liked the sound of what he did, but he couldn't use that progression because it made no sense.
And that is such an interesting comment to say, "I like the way it sounds, but you can't do that."
Yeah, it's kind of like when Einstein was young and he was studying at schools in Zurich, and his teachers thought he was doing crazy things because he was interested in exploratory math instead of and science instead of what was being taught.
Well, Einstein now has come into this week's Piano Puzzler, in addition to the Beatles and Claude Debussy. You know, I would, since Anne just nailed this, she named the Beatles tune, she said it's in the style of Claude Debussy. Bruce, I wonder if we could hear this week's Piano Puzzler one more time.
Yeah, and I think the reason she's so good is she went to Kinhaven, which is, it's the best music school in the world. Okay, let's hear this.
Thank you.
If I Fell, the Beatles song, rewritten in the style of Claude Debussy by Bruce Adolph for this week's Piano Puzzler. And Bruce, If I Fell was originally part of the album A Hard Day's Night, which I can so easily imagine as the title of a Debussy prelude. Debussy wrote such evocative titles for his preludes, and the Beatles had some great titles too.
That's true.
We're combining the Beatles and Debussy on today's Piano Puzzler, and Anne Philly from Bonneville, Vermont, got the whole thing. Named the Beatles tune, named Claude Debussy, and that was great.
Oh, just enjoyed it so much. Well, it was great to hear your voice, Bruce. I mean, now that I've finally put two and two together and realized you're one and the same Bruce Adolph. Took me a few years, but...
Oh, great. Well, it's great to connect with you again.
Yeah.
And what's your public radio station?
Vermont Public Radio.
Vermont Public Radio. Yeah. Of course it is, since you're calling from Bonneville, Vermont.
A great, great station.
Anne, so nice having you playing the Piano Puzzler this week. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
You bet. And Bruce, I'll see you next week.
Bye, friend.